Tonight, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ezekiel and chapter 16. Lord willing, by the time we're through tonight, we'll have read the entire chapter, all 63 verses. Our goal tonight is just to give primarily an overview of this 16th chapter, and then, Lord willing, beginning next week, we'll begin to get into it. It would seem as though God is justifying himself and has been justifying himself in, well, basically just about through the entire book of Ezekiel, in concerning the impending judgment that he is about to bring upon Jerusalem, upon Judea, and upon the Israelites. The Israelites already having been carried away into captivity, and some at this point of Judea have been carried away into captivity. But in this chapter, he rehearses with Ezekiel and commands him to declare it unto the people that he judges them according as their sins deserve, according to their sins. In the previous chapter, he had compared Jerusalem to an unfruitful vine that was fit for nothing but fuel for the fire. In this chapter, he compares it to an adulteress that, according to justice, ought to be abandoned and exposed. And he must, therefore, Ezekiel must, therefore, declare to the people their abominations. And we've been seeing that since, what, the 8th chapter at least, in chapters preceding that, about them being a rebellious and a stiff-necked and hard-hearted people. And then he goes into the 8th chapter and he begins to name their sins of abominable sins of idolatry. And here in this chapter, again, he tells them that he is to make known unto Jerusalem, the people that didn't want to know their abomination. Hey, what? We are not doing anything wrong, are we? You know anyone like that today? What? We're not doing it. We haven't done anything wrong. Well, Ezekiel is to make known unto them their abominations, that they might see what is coming. They deserve it. They deserve it. We're talking about the people of God. You and I know that we deserve everything we get. We deserve every sickness that falls upon us. We deserve every trial, every tribulation that we go through. We deserve even to suffer wrongfully for Christ's sake. We're sinners. And yes, we're saved. Praise God, we're saved. We're saved by His grace. But the truth of the matter is, each one of us were deserving of hell, and the only reason why we're not now is because of the grace of God. The Lord Jesus Christ took and paid my sin debt. He paid my penalty. So, in this making known to them their abominations, they're going to know that they deserve what is coming upon them, what has befallen them. In this long discourse, probably at least it's the longest chapter in Ezekiel that we have dealt with to date, I believe it may be the longest chapter in the entire book. But in this long discourse, we have set forth for us, first of all, the despicable and deplorable beginning of that nation. Now, I challenge you, as we read these five verses, to think about your despicable and deplorable beginnings. From whence you came. Verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, unto Ezekiel, saying, and it is the word of the Lord, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And how is he going to do that? And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Try to keep my comments to when we get into the exposition of these verses. But just think about that. The land of Canaan. Thy nativity, thy birth, and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Talking about their despicable and deplorable beginning. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. There was a newborn babe that wasn't cared for in any way. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Just take and imagine. A newborn babe, the cord not being cut, not being washed. It seems like it was a practice in the day to salt them, the skin, probably to remove impurities, a cleansing of sorts. They were not suppled. They were not cleansed. They were not swaddled. They weren't wrapped in a nice soft blanket, as infants are, and snuggled close. No, they were cast out. Something, huh? Well, we must move on. Secondly, we see in this chapter the many honors and favors that God had bestowed upon them. This, we just read their despicable and deplorable beginnings, but God favors them. Look with me in verses 6 through 14. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now, when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, through my ornaments, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. Boy, quite a difference from her beginnings, huh? That's what he's done for you and I. Quite a difference from our beginning. He saw us. Oh, and it was the time of love. He loved us. And he took us and he washed us and cleansed us. And did all this wonderful stuff for us, did he not? Well, moving on. Thirdly, in this chapter, we'll notice their abominable and ungrateful departure from Jehovah to idolatry, which is here represented by the most contemptible whoredom. Whoredom. They committed adultery. Verses 15 through 34, we read of this. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty. How many Christians doing that today? But thou didst trust in thine own beauty and playedst the harlot because of thy renown and pouredst out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was and of thy garments thou didst take and deckedst thy high places with divers colors, and played the harlot thereupon. The like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them, and tookest thy broidered garments, and coverest them, and thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them, my meat also, which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor. And thus it was, saith the Lord God. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast born unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them? And in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare and wast polluted in thy blood. And it came to pass after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith the Lord God, that thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place, and hast made thee an high place in every street. Thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thy feet to everyone that passeth by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. Multiplied thy whoredoms. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd ways. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast unsatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldst not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldee, and yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman, in that thou buildest thine eminent place in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as an harlot, in that thou scornest hire, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. They give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers, and hirest them, that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. And the contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredoms. Whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredoms. And in that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee, therefore thou art contrary. Therefore thou art contrary. Fourthly, in this chapter, in the next verses 35 to 43, we'll see a threatening of terrible judgments which God would bring upon them for their sin. Take note. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children, which thou didst give unto them. Behold, therefore, I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved, with all them that thou hast hated. I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. And I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged. And I will give thee blood in fury and jealousy. And I will also give thee into their hand, and they shall throw down thine eminent place, and shall break down thy high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and shall take thy fair jewels, and leave thee naked and bare. They shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones, and thrust thee through with their swords. And they shall burn thine house with fire, and execute judgment upon thee in the sight of many women. And I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot, and thou also shalt give no hire any more. So will I make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet, and will be no more angry, because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, but hast fretted me in all these things. Behold, therefore, I also will recompense thy way upon thine head, saith the Lord God, and thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abominations. That's not speaking of any of us, is it? Not speaking of any of us. None of us have gone a-whoring after other gods. None of us have looked to our own selves and our beauty. How knowledgeable we are in the Word of God. We have the truth. We're lifted with pride with it. Consider the judgments that we've just read that are coming upon Jerusalem, upon Judea, and the people of God. The fifth division that we find here, the grievousness of their sin, and the grievousness of their punishment by comparison with Sodom and Samaria. Oh, yes. He's going to compare Jerusalem to Sodom. and to Samaria. Begin reading verse 44 down through verse 59. Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children, and thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loatheth their husbands and their children. Your mother was an Hittite, and your father an Amorite. And thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwelt at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. Oh, we didn't think it was possible to be corrupted more than Sodom, did we? God charged Jerusalem with it because of her idolatry, because of her whoredoms, because of her leaving the Lord God. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins. Consider Samaria. They were looked down upon by the Jews. They were despised by the Jews. They wouldn't have anything to do with them. And praise God, Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. And here it says that Samaria has not committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. Thou also which hast judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame for thy sins, that thou hast committed more abominable than they. They are more righteous than thou. They're more righteous than thou, he said. They're more righteous than Jerusalem. Sodom and Samaria are more righteous than thou. Yea, be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame, in that thou hast justified thy sister. When I shall bring again their captivity, the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, and the captivity of Samaria and her daughters, then will I bring again the captivity of thy captives in the midst of them, that thou mayest bear thine own shame and mayest be confounded in all that thou hast done, and that thou art a comforter unto them. When thy sisters, Sodom, and her daughters shall return to their former estate, and Samaria and her daughters shall return to their former estate, then thou and thy daughters shall return to your former estate. For thy sister Sodom was not mentioned by thy mouth in the day of thy pride. They wouldn't even speak the name of Sodom because the sin of Sodom was so despicable. Before thy wickedness was discovered, as at the time of thy reproach of the daughters of Syria, and all that are round about her, the daughters of the Philistines, which despise thee round about, thou hast borne thy lewdness and thine abominations, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which hast despised the oath in breaking the covenant. I will deal with thee as thou hast done, according to thy sin. You broke my covenant of marriage. You broke that covenant. Then the last thing we see in verses 60 to 63 is God will show mercy to a penitent remnant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Then thou shalt remember thy ways, and be ashamed when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder, and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know, there it is again, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God. What an interesting chapter this is, and what an interesting study this is going to be. But I ask you a question as we begin to study this chapter. Why was this recorded? Why did he bring this to pass into light and record it and preserve it in his word? Well, as we have looked at many times before, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. Now, firstly and foremostly, this passage is certainly talking about their rebellion in the wilderness, when they rebelled against God and did not do his commands, would not trust him to go in and take the land. And then when God said he would destroy everyone above the age of 20 and in the wilderness, then they repented and they said, oh, we're going in, we're going, let's go. And Moses said, don't go, God's not with you. And they still went. Is that not rebellion against God too? Once God passes judgment upon you, and then you decide, oh, I'll do it. But God's not with you. His judgment upon you, he was rebellious. The key is the rebellion. And the things that we're seeing in the book of Ezekiel, the things that we've seen in Jeremiah and Isaiah. Israel was a rebellious people. And so doesn't this apply, this passage of Scripture, reply apply to all of Judah and Israel's rebellions against God? I think it does. In verse 11, he says, "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples." In other words, they're a word. They're an example. They're an example to us, you see. For ensamples. And they are written. This is why they were recorded. This is why we're able to read this 16th chapter tonight. They were written for our admonition, for our exhortation, for our instructions, upon whom the ends of the world are come. To every generation since, to every generation right to right now, they're written as admonitions, words of exhortation, instruction to us. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." You see, yes, there were some of Israel that stood for a time and stood for a time, but they fell. They took their eyes off of Jehovah, and they began to look at the people around them and what the people around them had, and what the people dwelling right in their midst that they had allowed to stay. They disobeyed the commandment of God to drive them out of the land, to kill them, utterly kill them when they came in and possessed the land. They disobeyed the commandment of God not to give your sons unto their daughters, not to give your daughters unto their sons. And they fell. We're subject to fall too, if we think too highly of ourselves. These things were written for our admonition. They were written for our instruction, that we might not think too highly of ourselves, as did what we just read concerning Jerusalem, thinking highly of themselves, and going to worshiping those idols. And they fell. And so can we too. So that's why these things are recorded in the Word of God. They're recorded for us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly, perfectly furnished unto all good works, that we might not fall. Okay, we'll stop there this evening.